comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18 from the Common English Bible. Those who stand firm during testing are blessed. They are tried and true. They will receive the life God has promised to those who love him as their reward. No one who is tested should say, "God is tempting me." This is because God is not tempted by any form of evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Everyone is tempted by their own cravings. They are lured away and enticed by them. Once those cravings conceive, they give birth to sin, and when the sin grows up, it gives birth to death. Don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. These gifts come down from the Father, the creator of the heavenly lights, in whose character there is no change at all. He who chose to give us birth by his true word, and here is the result. We are like the first crop from the harvest of everything he created.
How many of you remember the old TV show Hee-Haw? There's a few guilty witnesses in here. Still watch it. How many of you remember Doc Campbell? You know, Doc Campbell had his little office there. And one day this man came in and his arm was broken. And he walked up to Doc Campbell and he said, "Doc," he says, "my arm is broken two places." And old Doc Campbell stood there and he looked at him. He goes, "Well, try not going back to those places." And then just turned around and walked away. So, you know, let's think about that. Temptation. We go into places that we really shouldn't go into most of the time, right? In life, we tend to find places of questionable origin are the places that draw us the closest. In Kansas City recently, when I was there, I had the opportunity to help out at the Church of the Resurrection. The Church of the Resurrection looks like a shopping mall. It's huge. They have 10,000 people at four different services every Sunday morning. 10,000 people move in, 10,000 people move out, and 10,000 more are following them through the door. It's amazing to watch how this place works. Everything is on a timetable. It's like listening to a radio program, step by step by step. I didn't like it. I felt it was very cold and uninviting. So then I was given my job for the next couple of weeks, and it was to help out at the Church of the Resurrection. And I thought, man, I really don't want to go there, but I was ready to go wherever God called me to go. And as I walked up to my instructor, I said, "It says here, Church of the Resurrection downtown. What is that?" He goes, "Well, we know your background. We know that you were in law enforcement and stuff, so we figure an urban environment won't scare you." I carried a gun in that urban environment. Now you're handing me a Bible. He says, "Oh, it's easy to find. You get on this highway, and you go to this highway, and then you go across this highway, and then eventually you find yourself in the middle of all the pawn shops, strip clubs, and various other kind of places that we find in urban settings. And then you'll find the church." Okay, not a problem. So as I'm riding with this other guy who was assigned down there, we get off the exit, and we are in the throes of urban America. And it starts to get a little seedy looking. And I'm thinking, okay, I just left the huge church last week where 10,000 people went to four different services at four times on Sunday. This has got to be a huge place. And as I get there, I'm riding with my friend, and he's like, "I don't see it." I'm like, "It's got to be around here somewhere." The GPS, you know, God's positioning sensor, tells us we're close. We're really close. And all of a sudden, we see this great big neon sign. And I thought, oh, wow. And the sign was a big arrow that pointed towards this building. And it said, "All Nude Review." Wow. What's that say on the side of the building? Church of the Resurrection. I said, well, that's a new way to bring people in, all new review. Can't get folks to pay attention in worship? Let us have a bunch of strippers up front. He goes, there's no way. I'm like, yeah, this is it. We're here. And as we pull in the parking lot, there's signs. And if I'd have had my cell phone with me, I'd have took a picture and had it up here on the screen for you today. No, Mark, not the strippers, but the sign. And the sign said this: parking only, Church of the Resurrection, and all nude review. Somebody from the church went and had these signs made, and they placed them in the parking lot. So, as we walk into the building, there's two doors, side by side, and you had to make sure you was going to the right one, because last time I was checked, I was never ID'd to go into church. The other one says, have ID available. You walk through the door, and here stands two off-duty police officers. And I'm thinking, wow, we have hit urban church. We have cops standing at the door. And as I go inside, we have the most connecting worship service I've ever been into in my life. There were people from all walks of life there, and they were pouring their heart out to God. And Scott, the pastor, was just, he was preaching, and I mean, he was preaching, and no one looked at the clock. No one cared that communion was going to happen at some point in the service. They were there, and they were really experiencing God. All the while, you heard the thumping music from next door, because the strip club didn't shut down. Neither did the worship service. After the worship service, Scott invited myself and my friend out for supper. And well, since he was paying, I had to go. And well, Kansas City barbecue is good, and it was $30 a plate, and he was paying, so I had to go. Been rude not to. And as I'm sitting and I'm talking to Scott, I said, Scott, how do you handle this? I can see all kind of problems coming out of this, because the type of people that are drawn into the all-nude review, they're tempted to stay in that environment and that culture. They're not really tempted to come to church. And he said, I was afraid myself, but I realized that God had a plan for us. Adam Hamilton, the pastor at Church of the Resurrection, a big church, stepped up one Sunday morning. He said, folks, you 40,000 people that attend church, I need 200 of you to make a commitment. We need urban ministry downtown Kansas City. We need to take that community back. And I need 200 of you to commit for 1 year to drive 40 minutes from your homes, your multi-million dollar homes, out of Overland Park, Kansas, to inner city Kansas. And I want you to worship with people that you wouldn't walk across the street to talk to. And I want you to nurture them. I want you to care for them. And I want you to be their financial backing the entire time, because we know they don't have any money. The next Sunday came, not 200 people showed up, but 250 people showed up. That was 5 years ago, and they've yet to leave the church. They found out that God was calling them somewhere else. They weren't tempted to leave. We look at that. We see the temptations. And I ask Scott, I said, Scott, what about the dancers next door? Is that an influence on what goes on here? He says, I'm going to tell you something honestly. He says, I stand out back behind our building and I have conversations with the girls. I said, oh, my wife would kill me. I would do something like that. He said, my wife was a little apprehensive also until she came in here. Then she started making homemade cookies, and I would stand out there and I'd have soft drinks and homemade cookies with the girls. And we would stand and talk about what life had done to them to force them into this environment. And he said the longer he talked to these ladies, the more he realized that they needed God's love in their hearts. I said, wow, that's kind of cool. Have you had anybody come to the church from the club yet? And he said, did you hear our worship leader tonight? I said, yes, she had a beautiful voice. He says, she used to dance, and now she sings. Changed her life. Today we're talking about a scripture that we're talking about temptations. And I've heard so many people over the years, they talk about they have another jewel in their crown. We all wear crowns, don't we? Anybody here have a crown? Anybody at all? Sadie? Crown?
I gave it
to the kids. Well, Paul calls you a princess. I don't know, but I figured you had a crown. But we look at crowns today and we think about homecoming queens or the Queen of England or the King of some country. We look at those kind of crowns, right? And, you know, we always wonder, who buys these crowns? Do you go to Amazon.com and can get a crown? We know that you can get anything from Amazon.com because you've got Amazon.com skills. You buy them crowns and you wear them, right? And if you have that crown, you see somebody walking with a crown, you know they've been awarded something beautiful, right? They've been given a gift, something to separate them from everybody around them. Every one of us in this room have a crown. We just don't realize it. Our crowns are invisible because God gave us a perfect gift. He invited us into His family. Just like Scott in Kansas City invited girls to be part of his church, God invited you to be part of His family, to really reach out and grasp and hold on to. And with those crowns, you get to do great things. The only time you can lose your royalty is you have to take it off your head and set it down. Otherwise, your crown stays there for everyone to see and everyone to witness. You are part of God's family, and we should rejoice that. Now, there's something that's really, really strange. As Christians, we tend to forget things. And we say these words, God is tempting me. Our God's a loving God. He's a powerful God. Nowhere will God ever tempt you or test your faith. Nowhere will God tempt you or test your faith. He will protect you. He will love you. He will nurture you. He will comfort you. He will raise you up when you need to be raised up. He will carry you when you need to be carried. If you need to be drugged, He will grab you by the hair of the head and drag you. A guy who sat next to me in class had a screensaver on his computer, and I can't remember it exactly, but it was like the footprints in the sand. We've all seen that, right? You know, where when there was only one set of footprints is when I carried you. We all heard that. He says, when you see one set of footprints and then you see dragging behind, it's because I took you kicking and screaming because you needed me to drag you. I thought, how powerful. God doesn't let us run away. He doesn't let us take that crown off easily. The same thing I hear people say, and it really hurts me a lot. The devil made me do it. Or the devil confined me. Or the devil is lurking, waiting for me. I'm going to give you a little piece of advice, and you can write this down on anything you got around you. The devil has no power. Zero. Unless you give it to him. The devil is not a god. The devil cannot make the sun rise. He cannot make storms happen. He cannot inflict disease. He cannot cause birth. He cannot cause death. He can't do anything unless you give him the power. And God's not going to allow you to give him the power. So the devil didn't make you do it. If you've done something wrong, you did it. And then you get to ask for forgiveness. And God readily supplies it. The devil can't keep you confined. The devil can't lurk in the darkness and wait for you to do something. You got to go to him. He doesn't have mystical powers. No matter what anybody tells you, he doesn't. I challenge you, and this is something I challenged the adult Bible study not long ago. Pick up your Bible and search through it anywhere where you find the devil has power. You can't find it because he doesn't have any. I want you to pick up your Bible and search through it where it says the devil had this big elaborate battle with God and was cast out of heaven and fell to the center of the earth where he runs this big fiery furnace. Folks, Dante's Inferno is a great book. That's where we picture that image. All the image of the devil comes from Dante's Inferno and Hollywood. The devil is nothing worth mentioning, because by grace we've all been saved. We received the perfect gift, the gift of abundance, the gift of life, the gift of love. We've received so much from our adoption into God's family that we can say we are brothers and sisters to the Savior. We are brothers and sisters to the Savior. When we pass from this earth to the next is when we will receive our complete reward. Our complete reward of that beautiful place. Now in your mind, your theology, whatever it is, you can picture it being in the clouds. You can picture it on earth. You can picture it in another dimension. Whatever you want, because no matter what books we read and what person that's come out with this new, I've been in heaven for 90 minutes or heaven is for real or this and that, no one really knows where heaven's at. We look at it as scripture where it says he ascends into heaven to sit at the right hand of God. And we learned last week he went to prepare a place for you. And you want to know where that place is? It's right next to him. Right there. What a reward. A great reward that we have to really reach into and grasp and hold on to. I started off talking about Kansas City and urban ministry and being the hands and feet of God and experiencing the love of God in our lives. Everywhere we walk, everywhere we go, we have an opportunity, as Kathy said, had an opportunity to share love with someone at a convenience store. Scott shares love outside of a nude, all-nude review in Kansas City. Each one of us go different directions every day. If we look in our communities, Alpha, New Windsor, we are hard-pressed to find anyone that's home that's not retired. Because everybody else has went some other direction for work. Some other opportunity to witness. Some other opportunity to be standing on the line at work and people saying, preacher, claim it. Claim that title. Yes, I'm a preacher. Yes, I'm a Bible thumper. Yes, I'm a child of God. You can't tempt me, because I already learned today that the devil doesn't have any strength to tempt me. The devil can't lead me astray. The only one that can lead me astray and take that crown off my head is me. And I'm not putting it down. I'm part of the family. Part of the existence. Part of everything. We've all been adopted into the family of God by our faith. We are consciously surrendering our lives to God every day. We ask God into our lives to provide us with protection, with love, with encouragement. I ask you today, your challenge for the week is to realize that the devil has no strength in your life. He has no foothold in your life. He has no magic wand that he can do things in your life. He is a sinner who's fallen out of the grace of God because he took his crown off his head and he laid it down. And his whole battle is to try to upset the kingdom of God. If you don't allow him the power, he never gets a step. He lives in the shadows. He's in the darkness. If you don't venture into the darkness, then you don't ever experience the devil. You get to experience the love, the joy, the celebration, the abundance that we call life. Live it. Don't just survive. Thrive. Thrive in the kingdom of God. Grasp those opportunities and share them with everybody because you received the perfect gift. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we leave your house today, Lord, we thank you for being here with us, Lord, for blessing us with this crown of royalty that we take ever so lightly, Lord. Lord, allow us to take that crown, polish it up, wear it with glory and honor as we walk around your world, Lord. Allow us to become the hands and feet for you, Lord. Lord, as we leave this room today, I ask you as we go forth into fellowship of the mission meal to bless that food, bless the hands prepared it, bless it for our bodies so that we can have nourishment, so that we can go forth and serve. In your Son's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.